we've got a topic that I think is really important. It's about scaling up. We're going to talk about a few things. Scaling up for the season, how to do that well. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about culture, building culture. And we're talking about expansion. What does expanding look like right now? What is your goal? I'm going to just pick your brain a little bit on all that. But
yeah,
let's start with the topic of scaling up for the season. So how many reps did you have last year, and how many are you going into the season with?
So last year we had about 100 reps. This year we have 185 reps.
Okay.
And before we, you know, we going into the season, you know, we always have training. You know, we always say if it's raining, we're training, but we're really training every day at 9 o'clock in Google's classrooms. But we do more than that. I mean, it's we've grown through personal development. So yes, you have a number of headcounts and boots on the ground, but we start personal developing the growth of each project manager you have working for you. So we literally. It gets real big to bring 185 people to win the storm, or 185 people to.
You don't want to play for all those flights.
It's just but I did. I did rent two jets and pay for all the flights to travel to Andy Elliott's sales mastery, and we overbooked the Weacopa Casino, and we just, it was Shamrock Nation. We overtook Scottsdale.
That's
Andy
a
Elliott.
Lot of reps, dude.
That's a lot of reps. And what, you know, we it was a swarm. They come in from all locations. So we were in 8 states and 13 markets. And so we brought in all the reps, flew them out of Kansas City, and airdropped into the casino, and then went to Andy Elliott for 2 days, where we did team building, we did training, we worked out together, got to sweat together, and then training for 2 days, broke out with the team. It's really great bonding and team building experience.
How was the experience? Do you like your investment with that?
Yes, it's okay. Been great. They are all fired up. Andy's a great guy. I mean, you know, he seems like a hard ass on TV.
Yeah.
And he's no nonsense, but he's really about it. If you want to get your goals, you're going to have to make some sacrifices.
Yeah.
And so it really got into a lot of it resonated. So yes, it's about sales mastery, but it was also a lot of about your life and holistically, so that you can be well balanced, so that you can get in your sales mindset and then sell. So a lot of the psychology behind mm-hmm. the sale is what that was about. And then right after that, we flew everybody back. We have an annual spring fling where we do a kickoff, where we're award ceremony. We bring in a trainer. We brought in mm-hmm. Steve Patrick this year. And so he trained for 2 days. No, he trained for 3 days on the art of persuasion and addressing storm damage, how to talk to adjusters, these types of things.
Are you happy with your investment on that?
Oh, yeah. Steve Patrick, you can't go wrong. I strongly encourage you getting Steve Patrick out there to train your people to get prepped before the storm, or anytime in the middle of the summer doldrums, in the fall. It's always good information. We have him out often.
So these are great preps for, you know, the beginning of the season. How do you decide how many reps? Like, bring me back to a few years ago when it wasn't quite at this scale. So so you know, average roofer is probably not going to relate to 100 to 180. But how do you make a sense of like 80% growth this year? Like, well, how do you know how many reps you're going to need for what you're doing?
Right. Well, I like to say that I'm a marketing company and a recruiting company. We just happen to do roofing.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly recruiting, because you never know when you're going to get that one superstar. And one superstar can change a whole lot of things. I never imagined that I would get to 185 project managers. When I started this thing, I took this business over from my dad, who passed away from cancer, and there was nothing. And I just wanted it to be small. It was me and five people, and we started in Kansas City, and we started growing from there. And it was just to get as, you know, many reps and train as possible. Before we then finally moved and expanded, we went to Omaha first, created a hub and smoke model. And what we found when we go into an Omaha is, it's only 3 hours north, but the seasonality is a big difference in terms of days of roofing. you know, those types of things. So it affects your cash flow. There's less days of roofing. So definitely it affects your cash flow. And so we then opened Lincoln, and then we opened in Des Moines, and then St. Louis, and then we started going south to try to offset the seasonality and the cash flow. So
this is a common theme, right? Like that happened with a little bit, I think that was the Apple Crest move.
Yes.
Right? Like this is a common thing where it's like, hey, let's get out of the, just purely north to get a little bit of that back and forth going with the seasons.
Yeah, they pay better up north, you know, because you roof less, and they pay less down south, but
it's that's the other thing about like Texas, right? It's like the average roof cost is much lower than some of these other markets. They can't even imagine like a big, like some of the roofs that are up in whatever, Maryland or something.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, they pay more for squares up north than they do down south. So you got to build bigger markets down south to keep up with it cash flow wise. So keeping that balance is the hard part, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't chase storms. We focus on a market, and then we pull up, you know, the average age of the home, the average value of the home, you know, all of the demographics.
But you will shoot some reps down there, right? Like if you, because you've got a lot of reps, move some reps.
Yes, after it's established, absolutely. So like, if all our markets are hit now, like say Kansas City just got hit with a 5-star storm, we've got reps coming from Omaha, Lincoln, Des Moines, up from Tulsa, up from Arkansas. I mean, so they're now swarming on our Kansas City market, right? Yeah. So because it got hit with so 250,000 damaged roofs.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that decision making though, of like, let's say so if somebody was trying to figure out whether they should hire 5 or 10 reps.
Hire 10 reps.
Okay.
Hire them in pairs. Hire them in twos.
And you're saying some of them fall off.
Yeah, because it's not for everybody. I mean, a commission base, you know, or even a small salary base plus commission, a lot of people, if they're not hustlers, you know, they're just, they need direction. You need to hold their hand. You need to babies. It's not for them, right? And so that's why I hire in pairs and train multiple people at the same time, because that way you get 1, 2 to stick, and then you keep more and more people longer and longer and longer, and then you got your seasoned vets, and now they're starting to train your new guys. So
hire more on average, but how many reps should an average, like let's say a $5 million roofer have?
You know, that's a good question.
Like,
I mean,
if you're going into the new year and you're growing, let's say you're going from 5 to 7.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give averages, you know?
I mean, on average, your average project manager is going to do $300,000 to $500,000.
Yeah.
On average.
Sure.
Across 8 states, 13 different markets, that is the average. So if you're wanting to increase that amount, you know, that's what you would get.
Get five. 10.
Yeah. But it's,
you're, get 10, it's, let's you're, go to 8.
Yeah. But your superstars are going to elevate your average project manager 30%. But you got that lazy PM that's not wanting to work or whatever, he's going to drag down your average people.
Yeah.
So hire fast, fire faster.
Contractors love the catch-all because it makes every single one of their roof builds easier and more profitable. Protective netting wraps facade and landscaping to prevent from left-behind nails and damage. Homeowner referrals bring you more jobs, and insurance supplements bring you more profits. But my favorite part, the branding.
Yeah, I think I always get confused because I'm always like, when I'm out here doing content, I'm always trying to hang out with like the crazy big reps.
Right.
The $18.5 million Dan Walrack, or the, even just like, I hang out with Dylan Herman from Hayward Roofing, and he's $4 million, and I'm like, just because he's not 18.5, I'm like, yeah, you're pretty, you know, like, you're doing pretty good, you know, like, and I'm like, that $4 million is insane.
$4 million is insane.
For a rep.
Yeah, it's, so you do $4 million, look, if you know, you're doing $1 million, you're doing a couple million, you're doing good. If you're a rep out there and you're doing 750,000, you're doing good. You're making good money. A lot of people want to go work and go have their families. You know, we're extremists. We want the best. The top 1%ers, we're pushing for every single thing there is in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. But some people in their phases in life, you know, they want to go make their $75,000, $80,000 a year and go home to their wife and kids, and that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. And
no, it's just yeah. The tough part, I will say, as a lead generation company, yeah. is like when I'm looking at my dude's books or like Acculinks or something like right. that, and we're talking about like people not wanting to run as many leads. Like, oh, that's tough.
It's tough.
Because it's like, you shouldn't just turn it off in the winter or whatever. And like, somebody's like, I've already made my $150,000.
They're complacent.
And so I've decided that I'm like, not going to do any of this.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a vacation. Yeah, we're going.
I get it. You got to have work-life balance. But it's tough because if the company gave you all that business, we're still running a business here. Please don't give up. Like, I get the work-life balance thing, but we also have to, like, we need to service these customers. And, like, it's terrifying when you see people just, like, we're chilling now. Or we're taking care of the details of the projects that we've already gotten. Well,
it's bad for a couple different reasons. One, it's bad for them. They don't even know it. Yes, they need a break, but they take off too long, and then it's hard to get their steam built back up and get them rolling again. So that's one thing. And so then when they come back in, they don't have the flow down. They got marbles in their mouth. They haven't got their pitch down yet. It's just not flowing as well. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, we've got leads coming in that need to be ran professionally. And you know, they're just kind of just complacent, right?
But you can't just hire your way out of that problem, really, right?
Right. Well, you got to continue to keep hiring and training your way out of that problem, because it's easier to give.
You think of that as an indication you might need to hire.
Yes, because it's easier to give birth than raise the dead. And I call the other analogy is you can't push a string. You know, I'm trying to push these people along, but I got 10,000 leads last year. 10,000 leads. We closed 2,500 deals, right? And so I'm like, what's going on with these other 7,500 leads? I mean, the word on the streets of Kansas City, we love taking Shamrock's left spillovers, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't know what to think of that statement. Half of me's like, all right, good job. The other half of me's like, wait a minute, I'm producing this much leads that people just are not, you know, my people aren't following up with their calls, their leads. Mm-hmm. And so some other roofing companies, you know, right there to pick it up because we've already inspected the roof. They know they got damage, and our guys are going on to the next lead that's the bigger house that's in a, you know, in the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, so there's another indication maybe to, you might need a few more reps.
Need a few more reps.
But how do you get those guys, I guess, to double back on topics, how do you get those guys to not be leaving those behind?
You know, I think that's a personal development, grooming within that person. I had one.
Are we talking about a $500,000 rep that's not doing it? Or are we talking about like $2 million guy or $1 million guy?
No, we're talking about a $500,000 guy. I mean,
he's leaving it behind because it wasn't an easy close.
Right. And so, you know, the $500,000 guy can definitely go and they get complacent. What I find in all the data from all the people that we have is $75,000 seems to be around that little threshold. They get happy and complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a personal development within themselves that say, hey, I want more. I remember I was at an award ceremony and I'm passing out, it was under 2 million plaque to Grant. We call him the Gucci Roofer. And he kind of just came like snuffleupagus, you know, over there, just not happy. I'm like, what's up, man? Here you go. You know, he's like, Garen, I just feel like I could have given more. I let off the gas. You know, it's August. It's hot. You know, yeah. I let off. I could have hit that $2 million mark. And that was a click in him. And that was 3 years ago. And ever since then, he's been just crushing it every year. And so I think that's what they have to figure that switch in themselves. Mm-hmm. And
anything you've seen that will flip that switch for them?
I think... the competition, the leaderboard, when they see another youngster outrunning, outworking, pushing it.
Competition.
It raises that status. Like, oh, okay. Because remember, he was complacent down here. We bring on more superstars. They're like, oh, I see what he's doing. I recently brought Graham Desert on as the leadership management team. Mm-hmm. You know, he did $3.5 million in 5 months. At Northwest, I mean, he does Navy SEALs training for fun. Yeah. I mean, he's a freak of nature. And I prayed for 2 years to get him to come onto the team. Yeah. But now he's on the leadership team, and he's out there giving everybody a run for their money. And it's a personal enhancement, personal, you know, growth on that level. And why? Because you back into the why, and it's, okay, let's back into the financial. Let's figure out your life needs, what your life look like, because you got to back it all the way up. To get down to the psychology of why are they always complacent at 75,000? Because that's what they grew up with, and that's what they know. I've also noticed the people, how they grow up, wherever they grew up, the type of areas they grew up, they feel more comfortable in knocking in those type areas.
Yeah, okay.
So it goes back to the psychology of that person.
I grew up in not super nice area, so if I went to like a high-end neighborhood,
yeah,
might be a little bit more like, I don't know if I'm supposed to even mess with these people.
Right. And they're just like everybody else. They're putting one pant leg on at a time. Yeah. They just want to focus on their kids. They're one, you know, 2.5 kids and get them soccer and back. They need the roof replaced, and they want to talk to a subject matter expert. And you're that guy. So that's a confidence thing that you get in time with learning. And that's definitely what I talk to about my younger reps as I teach them young, because you know they look young, but I tell them you have to overcome that, your youth, with knowledge. Overcome your youth with knowledge so that you can make the sell. So
yeah, because like I'm just blown away by these business owners out here doing 30, like they're 31 and doing 20 million.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And like it's such an interesting, like, how are you doing that? Like I'm like I wish I started a little sooner on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's same with reps, like it's, yeah, you study up, you can be an incredible, you know, nothing is quick. Don't be impatient.
Right.
But study up and you can be incredible. Can we cover anything else on the, like, scaling up for, let's say, up north? I'm talking to a lot of people up north in the Midwest and stuff like that. You know, talking about the East Coast, scaling up for summer, scaling up for roofing season. What are your recommendations for preparing for the change in weather, and as the snow melts, usually there's a lot of like opportunity.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I can't, I'm not in Minnesota yet. We are in Des Moines and going up to Quad Cities. We're creating Des Moines a hub so that I have my trucks, trailers, everything ready to go. So as we daisy chain up, because it is on my radar in terms of expansion, greenfielding, or acquisition. But right now, I mean, you got springtime, you got inclement weather, the weather, you know, storms are firing off, but it's still cold. And right now it's training, it's motivating, it's getting everything you need to know out there. It's role playing, it's practicing, it's getting the marbles out of your mouth. Cause you go through the winter months, the season, and you kind of start losing your pitch. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got sales as a cycle. It's like, you know, you close every single thing you talk to, everybody you talk to, then all of a sudden you can't even close the door. Then all of a sudden you're frustrated with yourself. Then all of a sudden you're selling to everybody again.
And like if you sell three, four things in a row, fifth one is fucking easy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a momentum thing.
Momentum is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And so when you're coming off of a winner, you're kind of off your momentum. So you got to pick that momentum up. That's why you got to get in training, get mentally, visualize, get the marbles out of your mouth, rehearse your spiel, rehearse your speech, role playing, practicing, and getting going. That's what we do, and that's why we took 185 reps to Arizona with Andy Elliott.
Yeah, that's a big investment.
That's a big investment.
And you invested in your culture.
It was $250,000. It was $250,000 to do that.
Can I ask like one more question before we get into the culture stuff? Just anything else that you've traditionally done, like think maybe 5-10 years ago, as you're prepping for a busier season.
Yeah.
Anything else you prepped? Like you're probably like doing some marketing moves. Probably not changing CRMs or anything like that.
Marketing and your sales is hand in hand. I mean, it's hand in hand. And so during the spring, I'm prepping up like your storm. You're writing your blogs. You're doing your videos. You're doing everything, keyword stuffing. You know,
getting it ready.
Getting everything ready with fresh, putting it out there. Yeah. Let them know. sending out your
yards,
email.
You guys do yard signs.
We do yard signs.
What else do you do that's good for marketing?
You're doing emails to your customers from your CRM.
CRM.
Just letting them know, hey, season's getting ready. You know, let's do a walk around. So you're just getting your name recognition out there.
The like seasonality stuff is great for like, this is happening now. It's like, there's a question, why buy now, right? Like, how can we answer that more in marketing and sales? Why buy now?
Right.
And we can do that with email marketing, with these different things, with these seasonality-focused things. Yeah. Like, this is the best time to get, like, get a spring special or whatever.
Get on our schedule now because costs are still going up. Inflation just went up. The report reading just went up. Storms are popping off all over the place. We're back on shingle allocations because of all the five-star storms. So people are having a hard time getting a hold of material, and prices are going up.
Mm-hmm.
So those reasons enough are several reasons that, you know, otherwise you won't be able to get on a schedule. If you think you want to get on a schedule in, you know, June, good luck. You better get on a schedule now, like, so that we can get you in June.
Okay. Anything else that you think of at this time normally in the year? Maybe you got people for that now, but like last few years, like you probably, like 5 years ago or whatever, what are things you're thinking about at this time when you're scaling up for the season?
It's by this time, see, we're in March. I'm recruiting in January.
Yeah.
I'm training in all January and February. I'm bringing people in.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, Google Classrooms. We're training every single thing, role playing.
Google Classrooms?
Yeah, we use Google Classrooms. Nice. We used to, SVGU has a great, they use Lightspeed to host all their videos, and it's like a business in a box.
And you keep people on that though, like you make sure they're, we you have accountability, because
we track
Lightspeed, like it tracks their progress.
It does, but with Google Class, I got two people that are trainers. I mean, they do a roll call.
Who did Lightspeed? I feel like we should shout him out, that guy.
Yeah, Brad Lee, baby.
Brad Lee.
Dropping bombs,
shout
baby.
Shout out to Brad Lee for Lightspeed. It's a great training platform,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so you know how far they've gotten on their training.
We know how far they've gotten.
Yeah.
I've also, you know, Olin and Brian, they sit there and track them. They do a roll call. And so we know what they know. You get a lot of knowledge from that setting, video training, but you know, getting them out in the truck in the field at this point, I mean, they're a five-star storm, so nothing to learn like being on a door, talking to a homeowner, talking to insurance agents. So
absolutely, yeah, it's exactly. It's not the same quite, but ultimately we prep them, we're priming them, we're then role-playing, and role-playing leads to realness.
Realness.
And then this I think is good at getting into culture. You have a culture of role play. What do you guys do as far as cultural training and systems?
So cultural trainings,
I'm just saying, what do you do for in your culture to make it a better place to work? Because I was talking to Steve Patrick, who, like you said, went there last week, and he just says the best culture he's ever seen.
That feels good.
He's seen a lot of cultures.
He's seen a lot of
cultures. He's been around, dude.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
Yeah, yeah. Culture, if it's not baked in from the beginning and it doesn't spread from within, then it's going to be hard to just get culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so our culture was baked in from the very beginning from a culture of love and caring, praying. God's hand is truly on our business. We open every Saturday meeting with prayer, and we're constantly praying. We have God's favor over Shamrock, but in that process,
what we need, Jack. We need more God's favor. Jack hasn't been praying enough, I swear to God.
Yeah, man, it's a real thing. It works, man. I tell you, the prayers keep me lifted. Because it ain't always easy out there.
Yeah.
And so.
No, I pray. I just, you know.
Yeah. So, but going through the whole heart transplant and thing, you know, and the team being with me and wondering if, what happens if you die? Are we still going to have a job? And so by setting up succession plannings for them to know that this thing that we created, Shamrock Nation, would outlive me if I died, you know, and when I'm in the hospital, they took ownership. They locked arms. And so it's their business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's got buy-in. And so everybody comes in and they're together And then all the stuff that we do for them.
There's just something about that. Okay, so we're not gonna. My culture is not one where we'll probably do the prayer thing per se, but there's something about that, like something bigger. We're part of this community, and we're doing something that's like a spiritual aspect. There is something beautiful about that.
It is, and giving back, right? And so it's something
giving
about,
that's another thing that could do that though, too, is like doing charitable stuff.
Yes, and so we're starting out with the gratefulness, being grateful for everything we've had.
Gratefulness.
All the stuff that we give a roof away to a veteran every month, every quarter. And so then we give 300 vehicles away every year with our charity partner, Cars for Heroes. And then I'm also the chairman for the American Heart Association. So very big into giving back into the community.
That's good for culture. That's good for community.
So, and it's hard to, measure your ROI on it, but we don't do it for ROI. We do it because it feels good to be able to give back. And at this point, I used to be willing to shake the hand of the owner. We give them to military and first responders and teachers, and give them the keys, and they're crying because they're so grateful and thankful. And I've been blessed to give a lot of cars away, and now I let all the other Shamrockers give it away. Hey, you get to go give this car away. And when they're there and they get to hear this person's story and read this person's story, maybe it's a mother who can't get their child back and forth to chemo because they don't have a car, and now they're given the keys to the car to this woman, this mother just came to the kid there, and then she's breaking down crying. That does something to that person's soul and that spirit, and it just it's real, and it affects them. To just like now, like this energy, like the goosebumps you have just kind of talking about that.
I actually did have goosebumps.
Yeah. And so that's the energy. That's God's presence. And they feel that, and they're like, wow. And then I'm like, all right, that what you're doing right there, that's what you're going to do to helping all these families with their roofs, because there's so much love and happiness under a roof. I mean, it's kind of a trite saying, a roof over your head, but it is the roof over our head that so much joy and happiness come from.
And that's beautiful, man. It's like, understand, you're not just selling a roof to a house.
Right.
You're selling a roof to a family.
Yes.
And the family, there wouldn't be a need for that roof if there wasn't a family there.
Right. Yeah.
That's good. And it's like associating that. I love that. And I think involving your team, I think for the principal here, like, if you could involve your team a little bit more with charitable things and like really like impactful charitable things.
Yes.
And associate that with the like, we're trying to do this stuff for the community. This isn't just this.
Correct.
This goes beyond. We want to bring this energy to the whole enterprise here. We are trying to bring this energy to the community.
To the community, because the world needs help, America needs help, and it starts with the family, the community, and it spreads out. And so if we can get in there, from and carry our message, kind of let our light shine, go in to help the homeowners, help the community, and keep giving back, it creates a whisper, it creates a referral, that you can't really hear. Sometimes I'll hear a rep say, hey, this neighbor said go with Shamrock because Shamrock gives a roof away. Okay, so then you hear some of that, but there's a whisper as to why these referrals keep just multiplying.
That's always the thing that's so confusing to me, because like, I know our business is doing well because of referrals and word of mouth.
Yes.
But it's hard to always track it down, and it's hard to increase it.
Right.
Like as far as like, besides just doing the good things.
Right.
Besides doing the good service,
right,
and besides like being nice to people,
right,
and I'm like, okay, I want to do those things, but I also want to increase referrals.
Right.
What have you seen that increases referrals for a roofing company, and like, how does that interplay with the cultural stuff?
Yeah, it's big. The cultural stuff, because it's the trust. They know what they say. They know they can call Shamrock, and they're going to get exactly what they said. They were on top of mind because they see us on the news giving a car away, or American Heart Association, or cars or roofs for heroes. So that whisper is going now back to how that's
so
how
community involvement and the community charitable stuff is charitable. 100% part of why word of mouth spreads so easily.
Absolutely.
For Shamrock.
Absolutely.
Join the future of roofing at offers.roofle.com. Stand out, save time, earn more.
I mean, I've seen in other areas in marketing, in other companies, they can spend all the money in marketing in the world and they're not getting the return on their campaigns. And it's because they do bad business. You call them and no one's answering the phone. They call them and people are not sending the reps out. Mm-hmm. And then the reviews start going down, right? I mean, maybe some of your clients, you've seen some do better with campaigns than others.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, they've got to take ownership in that, right? Yeah. They've got to take, like, you've done your job.
Oh, there's there's companies where we'll be doing marketing for them and I'll realize this is not going to, like, help them nearly as much as most of our clients, because the lead ends with that homeowner.
Right, right.
It's done.
Yeah.
But the ones that are winning, that are doing incredible, are the ones where it's like every at least fifth homeowner is referring.
Right.
So then you get at least get another 20%.
Right.
Off of every single.
Right.
It's like average lead is like turning into 20% or turning at least that. And if you can increase that, then that's where like ROI is really going strong. And that's why like marketing is not only as strong as the company you're doing it for, but it's related.
It's related.
It's 100% related.
Yeah. So you got to have a cause, and the cause helps. Other than just, hey, I'm wanting to put a roof on your house and make money, and that's that. So.
And that directly relates to culture and your ability to recruit.
Because
culture is like how to get good reps.
100%. Right now, I've got so many reps wanting to come work for Shamrock, not just because of the amount of money they can make, but we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun, and it's a really good time. And
I just saw a video. Uh-huh. This is a interesting one. A company up in Minnesota. Uh-huh. It's not composed of the same people anymore, but it was like a partying one.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a strip club and them on a thing with 40s. And I don't want to say too much.
Yeah.
But it was like, that one's like been making the rounds. I don't know if you've even seen this video.
I haven't seen it.
But I hadn't seen it before, and I was like, oh, damn, because I don't know if it was the best vibe. Like, it might be, like, kind of a fun way to recruit, like a college frat culture, but it's like something, there's something there, though. It could get people in.
Yeah, I don't know that those are the type of people I'm wanting to get in. You know, I'm not trying to get, you know, I'm not taking people to strip clubs and going to 40s
But whatever whatever you show is what you grow.
That's right.
So if you show training, if you show, hey, this is the kind of company that you come and we're going to bring top salespeople like Andy Elliott and Steve Patrick in here. We're going to get them on actual training. Like you can show that and show the camaraderie that comes with that. Did you bring a video guy? I hope.
We have our video guy.
Okay,
he comes out. Yeah, so he's got 8 Emmys. He's
badass.
Yeah, he's bad. He's bad.
So you're showing that. You're growing that.
You're showing that, growing that. I mean, we have, a good time. When they have a spring fling, whether we're playing bags, Topgolf, games, we're doing all sorts of different,
wholesome
things, not going to the strip club. Yeah. No, it's good energy. Like we're working out together. And then within the culture, you've got guys breaking out and then they're going to their HIIT fit class, CrossFit trainings. And then other guys, they're like getting together and they go to their NASCAR things. And then we got these, the ladies of Shamrock, the women of Shamrock, they talk about a powerhouse. These gals, they're strong, and they get together every Friday and talk about what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so even with this culture now, you got sub breakouts, of people, and you've got your top performers hanging out here, and you got your middle ones. They're wanting to hang out with them. I mean? What are they doing? How are you doing it? Because they're wanting to fine tune, dial in. How do I make $250,000 this year? You hang around that guy. You go watch what he's doing. Mirror him. Mm-hmm. He's constantly working. He's in the office first thing in the morning, putting his information in the CRM. He's there at night, putting his information in the CRM. He's scheduling his clients, his day, following up with his homeowners. He's putting the work in. He's getting those. And then they see him getting those checks every Saturday morning. We're passing out checks. So he's getting those $20,000 checks on every Saturday. And everybody sees that.
You make that big and visual.
Yes.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I want to go into let's call this the private equity corner.
Private Equity Corner.
This should be a series. Private Equity Corner, because everyone fucking wants to hear this shit, and no one's talking about it nearly as much on these podcasts. So we're going to make it Private Equity Corner, our first series with, we talk about this a lot on this show. But what are you doing, man? What's the strategy? And I know that we can't tell everything, but what estates are you targeting right now? Who should be thinking about this? And then, like, I guess, what's the premise? What's the, everyone has a thesis, right?
Yeah, the thesis is Shamrock right now is in the heartland. We're in Kansas City, all the way up to Omaha, South Dakota, Des Moines. And then, you know, so we're going to be looking in the north. We're going to be looking for Minnesota. If you're in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Tennessee. Those are the markets we're expanding in. So we're more just north and east, because we're already in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. So those we're just looking to expand just one state, right? Colorado is always a good market. So private
equity.
These
are the ones you're looking for, so say what's up.
So I've greenfielded
Who are you looking for? Basically, just a quick
I'm looking to acquire companies or partner with companies that are wanting to exit, wanting to have a liquidity event, wanting to take some chips off the table, wanting to stay involved.
How big are they?
They are at least 10 million top line, 2 million EBITDA, and have a self-sustaining business.
Yeah.
So that's the parameters I'm looking for. I'm also looking for, you know, $40 million businesses with $5 million EBITDA. Mm-hmm. So, or $10 million. They're fewer and fewer and harder to find.
Yeah, they're getting snatched up.
They're getting snatched up really quick.
Shout out to all you private equity groups
out
there.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. And some of you private equities that don't want to be in operation, I'll even buy them from you. So, there you go.
That's good.
So, because I'm operating it and managing it behind an Excel spreadsheet, you know, just with your thesis is a
and
whole
what
lot.
What is the thesis? Like, what is
most
it?
People's thesis? I mean, you have a 5-year IRR, internal rate of return. Most private equities will come at you with, and that's just how the numbers work for their investors that they've raised. And so then you got the family offices, which is they call it more patient money. And it's they're there to help groom you, grow you.
Sounds pleasant. Patient money.
Yeah, but it's kind of a misnomer, because if they got the opportunity to sell at a premium, they're going to sell.
So they're just saying, I will wait 10 years if I have to.
What's patient?
What is patience to them?
They will wait 10 years. Okay. They'll just add it to their portfolio companies. Yeah.
Like, we can operate this with a few million EBITDA, and that's fine.
Yeah, because otherwise it's a private family's money that it's being invested in some fund, you know.
Yeah.
So as long as it's performing higher than that, then they're good.
I think what people are confused about, like what I was confused about for a while, is like why private equity does this? Is it a scam? They're not a scam, but are they like, is it always going to end up weird? Because they must be trying to do some quick arbitrage. Like, so what is your understanding of why does private equity do this? Why is this money available, basically?
Yeah, so in-home servicing space has been proven out with HVAC, with flooring, with pest control, solar. So, and they've had a lot of success, and they've seen roofing as very fragmented, the last of the Mohicans. We can get in there and roll them up. It's very unsophisticated. The roofing space is probably a decade behind the times technology-wise. We're catching up. We're
getting
there. I'm
glad you said this, because I just said this in the last podcast, and I felt like I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that. I don't want to be insulting.
Yeah, no, I'm a roofer, and when I got in, you know, when I took over, it was two decades behind the time. People ask me how we grew so fast. Through automation, through software, through technology, using a lot of tools that are available that most roofing companies don't utilize, they don't know about. You know, most roofing companies are started by some salesperson that did well at a previous company. he breaks off, thinks he can run a business, and then doesn't work out so well. And
so because of that fragmentation, there's opportunity.
Because of the fragmentation, there's absolutely roll-up opportunity for other businesses that have systems and processes and good people, mm-hmm. right? At the end of the day, you're really acquiring the people. The people, you know, their assets are who your people who are the ones that walk out the door at 5 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not many roofing companies are sitting on regular maintenance agreements that's, you know, repeatable business.
Yeah.
Every January, you're starting at zero. So, mm-hmm.
But there is a customer list too.
Well, you get a customer list. I mean, you'll get a customers, but if you're not marketing them, if you're not staying in front of them, what I've seen in the roofing space, if you ask your homeowner, who did you roof last time? I don't remember, right? Because it's an older sale. The house may have been sold previously since then. They don't know who put the roof on, right? So that's a lot of the time. I would say more than not, I would definitely say more than not, they don't even know who did the roof last time.
Mm-hmm. I keep on saying it. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm gonna not say this anymore. That's why we need the stickers like HVAC has on the fucking garage button or whatever.
Yes.
Like, just to, like, throw the number. If that takes off, it's from me, because I said it 5 times at this conference.
Hey, man, I'm gonna implement that.
Do it.
I'm going to implement that. That's a nugget. Dropping bombs. Listen to that.
Brand. Even if you keep it classy and kind of like a label, like a little yes. alert label, like this roof is serviced by.
Yes.
And then the number Camera. And the thing, because yeah. HVAC companies will literally purchase smaller HVAC companies, like a $1 million HVAC company, just for all the stickers yeah. and the phone number out there.
Yeah.
And they get that phone number, and it's 1,000 homes that yeah. have that sticker, and that's who does the HVAC
yeah.
for that home, even if the home was sold.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's an interesting, like, why don't we own homes? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, why don't we have our sticker in a crucial spot where they'll see it, but not like where it'll take up so much, like, space where they, like, want to peel it off, but that's just like a little yeah. alert, you know?
It's there, yeah.
I think it's the way you do it, too, that will matter.
Right.
But ultimately, I do think we're going to learn more from HVAC coming in, or, like, the private equity people coming in that, like, honestly, it is weirdly, it is coming from HVAC. Like, yes. a lot of these yes. guys that just... like ran through HVAC and,
yes.
and like the money's been had and mm-hmm. the multiples are going down, mm-hmm. which is, no, I don't know if it's good for me to say this, but like, I don't know how long this lasts. I think it's a 10-year span where it kind of all comes in, and there's still HVAC companies selling from like when it was right. 10 years ago, where it's the big boom, but the multiples have gone down.
Yes, I agree. They're in favor now. Roofing companies are in favor now. HVAC was in favor,
mm-hmm.
And as it gets consolidated, you know, private equity companies are being more and more diligent,
less arbitrage, less yeah. like big kind of flips.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's like, it's kind of that like FOMO, like, oh, we're gonna get a big flip out of these companies. I think that right. that's coming now to, like, right. roofing is feeling that. Yeah. Somebody asked me, like, is it over? Like, because it's been a few
yeah.
years where
yeah,
it's big.
No, I think we're in the second or third inning of the private equity space. And I think as more successes continue to happen, the more, the longer it's gonna continue to go. Because I have, you know, friends in New York, they help raise help private equity companies mm-hmm. put money together.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll send me, hey, there's a new player. Hey, there's a new player. So there's still new players looking for new platforms.
Like, there should be.
Like, constantly.
Should be FOMO. Roofing is dope.
It is.
And, like, so, we got a long ways to go. And, like, the value is increasing right now. From yeah. my point of view, the roofing, the sophistication level is going up.
Yes.
The, like, I was about to say camaraderie, but the partnership abilities are going up.
Yes.
I think of that as enterprise value.
Yes.
Is going up. As yes. there's, it's really people playing together well. If
yeah,
we can play together well.
Professionalize the roofing space.
Because the opposite of that is competitiveness and basically like childishness.
It's ego, childishness, fighting over a piece of a pie versus coming together.
How can
and
we
having
do
a piece,
this together?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get a bigger pie.
So we can get better margins yeah. on our buying material. So we can have, you know, economies of scale. take into play.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why we've been able to grow our margins and mm-hmm. and everything else. And so
we go too much in the specifics on that. We'll give you too much.
Yeah.
But those particular.
I mean.
Those are all the things that make these companies worth more.
Yes.
And that's why that, you know, the EBITDA goes up and why these things get so good. But there's really a lot to be had still in roofing, and this is happening, and I think it's really good. Yes. I want to give you an opportunity to plug your platform if you want to connect with other roofing company owners.
Yeah, Shamrock Platform. If you're looking to join the team, if you're looking to become a partner, take some chips off the table and be able to grow by taking advantage of our marketing, taking advantage of our material pricing, taking advantage by all the admin support. Maybe it's a CFO that we're able to give you and you need. You're not as strong on the financial side, not as strong as the backing and the lines of credit, the money you need to be able to take on the jobs that you need. We can help you with that. Join the Shamrock platform. If you're in an area and you're known by your brand, we're not wanting to come and change your brand. We want to keep that as it is and just be powered by and help you grow, lock arms, and provide you all the knowledge and the training and experience, you know, that we've learned from mistakes in the past, pitfalls in the past. So this goes out to a lot of those of you who are looking to retire, have been in for a long time, maybe don't have all your stuff buttoned down in a CRM yet, that needs some help to groom. Be happy to help you groom and implement those things. Or if you're a young buck and just looking to start up and grow, we'll be happy to help you with that as well. To give you all of our agreements, the rebates, and the pricing on our material. So, definitely please reach out. It's Garen at shamrockroofer.com. Be happy to talk to you, and you can join the platform.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
And I appreciate everyone for watching. The podcast is put on by hookagency.com. Hook Agency all over social media. Incredibly grateful to serve the industry. Thanks, everyone.